though this Tomic versus Hewitt feud hasn't been beaten up. It has just been staggering. And our good friend Leo Schlenk's been on the line. He's been right at the forefront of this. And I dare say, despite his tremendous career over journalism, this probably takes the cake, what he's watched between Tomic and Hewitt this week at the Australian Open. Leo, good morning. And probably an impossible question to answer, Leo, but what's your take on this Tomic-Hewitt feud?
Morning, Ray. Morning. Well, look, I think it's now irreparable. There's no way back. But plenty of things have happened in sport. Who would have thought that, speaking of feuds, that Ivan Lendl and John McEnroe would be on speaking terms ever? They get along pretty well these days, but they're out of the heat of battle. These two are in their relative careers. They're right in the middle of it. And Bernie's 26. He's in the middle of his playing days. And Leighton's only 3 years into his Davis Cup captaincy and still playing. But this has its origins going a few years back now, Ray, and it's not going to be easily solved. I know that Nick Kyrgios has made great headway in the past couple of days with Leighton and addressing issues that needed to be talked about. So maybe there's a way forward for Bernie. At the moment, it looks impossible, though.
Leo, one of the things we've been talking about this morning is how it was allowed to get to this stage without being resolved before, because for it to take away from what's been a magnificent Australian Open, and it is our biggest week in our tennis calendar in Australia domestically, how's it been allowed to get to this stage?
I guess the basic answer, Phil, is these guys are owner-operators, and not so much in Leighton's case, because he's answerable to Tennis Australia, and I think that's why he took some time to consider his response, and then he just laid it out there. This has been simmering for a while, and once these guys get established and they've got enough money to be independent and they no longer have the support of the National Federation, they are completely at their will and freedom to say whatever they want and do whatever they want within the laws of the land, of course. So unlike past eras where if someone upset Harry Hopman, that was it, done. The Federation backed Harry to the hilt and the player would suffer. These days, it's a totally different ball game. These guys are private operators, and that's the way it runs. Once they don't rely upon support from the Federation, they're on their own.
Now, it's been engrossing to watch, and in some respects, Leo, it's probably taken away a little bit from the tennis, which has been fantastic to watch, I've got to say. And look, I know Ash Barty is our last singles hope. She's got a massive game against Maria Sharapova later today. We'll talk about that shortly. But in the men's draw, some positive signs for the future. The three Alexes, Alex Bolt, Alex de Minaur, and Alexei Popperin, who I thought was great last night, they gave a glimpse potentially of Australian tennis's future in the men's side.
Yeah, spot on, Ray. And the great thing about these kids is they all come from different backgrounds. Alexei Popperin, he was born in Sydney. His parents came out from Russia. They moved to Dubai for business when Alexei was about seven, I think. He went up to Turkey to play in a clay court event and was absolutely thrashed. He thought he was a good tennis player. He got on the clay, had no idea what he was doing. So his family decided, with the business side of things as well, that they would move to Spain, where he had access to clay courts and he learnt to play. And, you know, 2 years ago when he won the French Open juniors, he joined a very select group of Australians to have ever won that. Phil Dent was one. He made a Grand Slam final. But the other three, Roy Emerson, Ken Rosewell and John Newcombe, they're the only other Australians who won the French boys. So that tells you how good this kid is. He wasn't considered developed enough to have a wild card given to him for the Australian Open last year because his hard court game was said to be lacking and deficiencies there. He's been working at Patrick Mouratoglou's academy. He's the coach of Serena Williams in Nice, and you've seen the headway he's made. Mm. What he did last night was just a glimpse of how good this kid is. He's another Del Potro. He is that good, and he's got a temperament to go with it. We know Alex de Minaur's story. Similar story, Spain, Australia, access to clay courts, it's the making of them. And Alex Bolt, one of the great old Australian late developers. Mm. And the thing with him, with Bolty and the other two lads, is that they are super fit. And this is the lesson for maybe what now shapes as potentially a lost generation of players, the ones ahead of them, who sometimes, you know, in the case of Tanasi Kokkinakis, he hasn't had the chance to work as hard as he would have wanted because of injury.
Exactly, yeah. And in terms of Kyrgios and Tomic, I think that lost generation fitness-wise is so important. Ash Barty, she's been playing terrific tennis. Pulled out of the doubles yesterday with a potential little tear of the abdominal strain. How bad is that? Because she's coming up against Maria Sharapova, who's turned the clock back here, Leo, so far.
Yeah, she's been amazing, Sharapova. She had that tough match against Wozniacki. That could have gone either way. Wozniacki had big leads in the first two sets. She had a year last year that was indifferent, Maria, but these courts are suiting her. They're fast, but the balls are a little bit negative, or neutral, I should say. This is a match that, you know, Ash needs to be at full fitness to win. It's going to be the same thing. This is going to be a massive battle of the forehand, and it's going to depend on how well Ash serves. If she has a hip flexor problem or an ab strain or tear, she's going to find it hard to extend, and that could be compromising. The fact she's put out a doubles, she loves using doubles to prepare herself. She'd rather play a doubles match than go and train. That's just the way she is. And look, she's done an unbelievable job this summer. It's just really unfortunate. Let's hope that she would have done everything right to get ready for this match. Let's hope she can get through it with a win.
It's interesting your take on Ash Barty, because one thing I have noticed about her, she's a lot fitter than she's ever been. She's always been a great athlete, but she looks super fit at the moment, and the results are showing on court, Leo.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. Craig Kaiser, her coach, one of the most brilliant coaches on the world stage, and he does a lot of work with her and Ash's team, and super fit, and we know that she's got the hand eye. She's an incredible athlete. She, you know, she picked up a cricket bat, and she was almost picked for Australia. She's that good. She can do anything. She kicks a pretty mean football as well. Anything she picks up, she can do. So now, it's taken a couple of years, and this is the thing with, like, Nick's had his injuries as well, and Bernie's had hip surgery. To be fair to both of them, they've had their issues. But you need that consistent run at it. And Roger Federer remarked only a couple of weeks ago in Perth, he's had one injury in his career until last year. He had a bit of a wrist problem, but before that was the knee. But the knee required surgery, the wrist he managed. But one injury in his entire career because of the way he's been managed. And Ash Barty, if she has a decent run at it, she can win a Grand Slam.
And wow. What shape football are you talking about there, Leo? Is it the oval shape one or the round?
Yes, the oval one. I'm sure she's pretty good also with the round one.
Basically, anything she does,
she is so talented, Ash Barty. And she is someone that we know a lot of people high up in the tennis world, very good tennis intellect, who will say anything is possible for her if she stays fit, and we just want that to happen.
Yeah, that's right. Interestingly, going into this summer, I read a story on her where she said that having all her wisdom teeth out in the off season had really mentally steeled her for what was ahead. So, Leo, I want to ask you about the Australian Open more in general terms, with the whole Tomic Hewitt thing put to the side. We're always looking to improve things year on year. Is there a point of difference to this year's Australian Open that you've noticed?
From the player facilities, look, this tournament does things that the other three can't do, simply because of the space that, that's been made available to it by the Victorian government. That whole footprint that runs basically now from Fed Square almost down to the border of Richmond, it's just a huge complex. And the player pod at the Australian Open is new world. It's just unbelievable. And yesterday there were 93,000 people went through the gate, which is a record. There's no other Grand Slam in the world that can fit comfortably 93,000 people there. So that's that engagement. It now needs to go into, it's getting there. I can see more and more kids around the courts, you know, off-season, if you like. But the point of difference to the others is just the fact we play in the middle of our summer. The others play in the spring in Paris, and it's summertime in Europe. But as you know from personal experience, Ray, you don't always get a lot of heat there, but this event has gone to another level. It is not so long ago that it was the poor cousin. It just keeps on developing, puts the players first, and I think the fan can relate to that. And what we're seeing right now, that because this event is so big, it is pushing Australian development, and that's what they've set out to do.
I think the players also relate to that too, Leo. They love this tournament. Hey, Leo, last Sunday you tipped Serena Williams to win the women's and Novak Djokovic to win the men's. After week one of the tournament, we're going to week two starting today. Is there anything to change your mind?
No, there's not. Denis Shapovalov might have changed it briefly yesterday when he played that final third set. Which was a huge result. And then back to reality, 6-love in the fourth set. Serena just looks totally dominant. She's got Simona Halep next round. Simona put out Venus, who had an arm injury. and Simona overcame her own issues and the previous match against Kenan when she was down 2-4 in the third set. That's going to be a cracking match, that one. That could be a final anywhere else, the world number one against the seven-time champion. Nothing to change my mind at this stage, Ray.
Fair enough. Hey, Leo, always terrific to talk to you, Ree, any matter tennis. Hope we can talk to you next Sunday. Appreciate your time on the Sunday morning, Leo, and we'll talk next week.
My pleasure. Thanks,
Leo.
Thanks, Leo.